All right. Well, this is lesson one, day seven of our Ephesians study. And again, this is Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible study. And let's go ahead and get started. So we have been moving through chapter one and trying to kind of go in, move forward, and then loop back and go in and move forward and loop back. So this is day three of doing that process. And that's kind of the concept here in the Word. So often, if you're like me, we get into the Word and we start studying, and it really just means that we're reading through, maybe writing down some notes here and there. How does it apply to me? What can I learn from this and all that? But the method we're doing this way of study is to dig in and then loop back and dig in again and just peel back layers and see things and re-see things. Because again, if you're like me, you read through a scripture and you're like, okay, I got that. And then maybe a year later, you hear it again and go, it's like I've never even read it. So that's how God's word is so awesome, that it just comes back and alive to us and we see new things in it each time. So we're going to try to condense that process and really actually do that over the course of a few days, which is what we've been doing in our study right now. So let's thank God for our time in the word and dig in. Heavenly Father, we do come before you and thank you for this word before us today. Give us the wisdom, understanding, and the new eyes and heart to see what you have to teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's do this. Let me go ahead and click the share screen button. Those of you who are joining me on the podcast cannot see this, of course, but those of you who are on the Facebook Live or joining me later, whatever, on YouTube and all that, you can see the screen. So if you do not already have the Bible study downloaded, be sure to go over here to the La Mirada Church page. You'll see the Women's Ministries. Just click that over to Women's Bible Study, and that'll take you to this page. Scroll down and click. There you go. And actually, just now that we're here, all of the previous studies are there available for you. We finished a year-long study in Hebrews, a big deep dive there. We've been through several of the Psalms. We've done a short, kind of a short layered study through James. We did a deep dive through Luke. And then we did a whole study down here on hope. So anyway, click through and then you will see the study. You can print it off at home. You can just follow along online, whatever works for you. And the way the study is set up is that every day when we get back in, pray, dive into the word, but we're also memorizing scripture. And this lesson, we're memorizing Ephesians 1, verse 3. Today, we're going to reread through Ephesians 1:1-14. And then take some notes on this is now concept. We kind of alluded to that yesterday. So let's go ahead over to Ephesians 1. And I'm going to wet my whistle a little bit so I can read this a little easier. Hold on just a second. I gotta have my coffee. Do you guys have your coffee? Hey, take a picture today holding up your coffee. Show me what you're doing while you're doing your Bible study. All right. Let's get in. So Ephesians 1:1-14, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's our memory verse. How are you doing on it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Did I do it? I did it! Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless. Hashtag goals, holy and blameless, right? In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. Oh, my computer just glitched there. Predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. Man, if you love yourself some prepositions and prepositional phrases, this is the verse for you. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ and in a gerund, according to the purpose of his will. Oh my gosh. I should diagram this sentence. That would be fun. All right. Moving on. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Good job. So throughout Ephesians, we'll see a sort of that was then, this is now idea. As you read today, consider the timing of God blessing us with every spiritual blessing, and also consider our response, what that looked like and what it resulted in. Place the actions and blessings in time. Put yourself way back in the place of the original audience as you think about it. So let's see if I can do this. I want to do a split screen. Wow, look at that. I'm doing a split screen. Hopefully you're seeing that okay. I have no idea what that is. Accept permissions. That's where those faces come from. Those of you who can't see my face, if you're listening on the podcast, I'm making like, I have a very expressive face. I bring my personality up and it just contorts all my muscles and my lips and my eyes and my eyebrows and all that. Anyway, I don't think you're able to see both those screens. I'm trying to do a split screen, but I'm guessing, I don't know. Are you? Maybe you are. Hey, if you're on Facebook, can you tell me if you're able to see a split screen or not? That'd be super cool. I'm going to bop over here and look at that as well. No, I don't think it's a split screen. Anyway, okay, I'm going to end that. All right. All right, sorry about that pause. It was just a little scientific experiment, just checking out to see if I could see, if you could see a split screen. And honestly, I can't tell if you can or not. So there's that. So I'm not able to see that. That's kind of annoying. I'll have to talk to my favorite tech guru, Jessica Perry of for Pete's Sake. Oh, there we go. Okay. So let's get back to the scripture. Little delay. Of course, again, those of you over there on the podcast, sorry you can't see all the shenanigans over here. It's really quite fun. All right. So back again so we know what we're doing. So we're putting ourselves back in time, and I want us to look at what happened way back then, what was a kind of a that was then, and what is a this is now, and what is a, but wait, there's more as we look through these verses 3 through 14. So way back then, we're going to go over here to verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And it's like he blesses God, and then he goes into exactly what happened and how that looked. And again, just to review, 3 through 6. Okay, so even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So way back then, before, so write that down in your column. What happened before the foundation of the world? We were chosen. That for what purpose? That we should be holy and blameless in him. In love, he predestined, and that's going to point us to the next box in just a second. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. So his will was engaged, he chose us, and he had this intention set up to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. All right, so that was way back then. This was then, so that's a little more recent then, 7 through 10. Go the right verses here. So in him, so here we go. And in terms of the perspective of when you were reading this, this would have been a more recent then. And we think that this gospel was probably, this epistle was probably written around, I believe, 60 AD or so. And so that would have been, Christ died in 30-ish AD. So 30 years between the time of Christ's death, burial, resurrection to the time of the writing of this. So this, some people who are reading this were alive and listening and maybe even witnessed or were in the community of hearing of what happened when Christ was died, buried, and resurrected. So in him, we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of the trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Oh, all the way to verse 10. Making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him in heaven and on earth. So that point on the cross, his redemption on the cross, the forgiveness of sins, all of that was set forth to unite everything that's in heaven and things that are in earth. So that was then. And again, be mindful. You're thinking like somebody in 60 AD getting this letter and hearing it and realizing what they have in Christ through God's blessings. So this is now what's happening. Let's take a look at verses 11 through 13. In him, this is what we have now. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined, or jump it back, it points all the way back to the predestination comment, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, that's what's happening right now. They heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, they believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. All right. And then wait, there is more to come. So verse 14 points ahead to that. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glorious grace. So do you get all this timeline jumping through in just these 14 verses explaining our position, our blessing, what's happened to us? Because of Christ. What do we have? All right. So every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places are ours because of whom? Christ. Exactly. Go ahead and jot that in there as well. And then reading on. Sorry. Let's update my screen here. Boop, boop, boop. Pay no attention to the lady behind the screen. All right. So think about it. Do we come to Christ because we have a problem and we want him to fix it? Yes, maybe. I hope so, right? I hope you go to God when you have problems and you're praying and you're asking him for wisdom and insight and how to move through that issue. But there's more, isn't there? If you only came to your friend when you had a problem to be fixed, what kind of a relationship would that be? Instead of our lives being centered on what we can get from our relationship with Christ, what should our mindset be in light of these truths from Ephesians 1, 3 through 14? Well, Christ is the answer. Christ is the center. Christ is the reason. Christ is everything that we need. Christ is our sufficiency. So it's not that we come to Christ with our problem to be fixed. We come to Christ because he is our answer. Knowing Christ, being in Christ is the answer to the problem. So it's not like you're going to him and you're saying, well, I need this problem fixed. And he's like, well, do this and then do that and make sure you go here. There might be an element of that, but the truth, the reality of is it is, I want us to really grasp the greatness, the power of just being in Christ, that he is the fullness. He is everything that we need, that we ever can need. So let's take a look at the insight box over here where we read, it's Greek to me, the top there. And those, I mentioned that a few lessons ago, will come up throughout our lessons and give you some insights. And this one happens to be about the Greek background here in this part of the scripture. So the Greek words bless and blessing come from the root good word, you, E-U, it's pronounced you, which is good, and logos, good word, and the word is logos in the Greek. In the Greek, the opening of this letter has a poetic rhythm when it's spoken aloud, and it's this good word that's spoken. All right. So number four, who are we? Scroll down for you. Who are we? What do we as God's children get? Well, let's take a look at verse 5. We are sons and children. So not just sons in the male form of that, but just the sense of being children. And what do we as children get? Well, like any child in a family, you get an inheritance. Your parents pass on, a grandpa or great aunt or uncle or whatever, right? You get an inheritance because why? We are the children. We're the ones who get this inheritance. So how did we become part of this family though? Well, again, clear in this, Jesus Christ. We become part of the family through Jesus Christ. And there's that magic little six that likes to hang around sometimes when I don't edit very well. And it just slipped right in there again, like it did a couple lessons ago. Another six. So review Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, looking for words that remind you of your relation to God as your Father and the inheritance that we have. There's a lot of family language. If you go back through and think of it in that way, go back through and go, oh my gosh, look at this. So let's take a look at that again. And our relationship to God as Father is in particular, I want us to focus on as we go back through. All right. So, scrolling back up here, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption, there's a family word, as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of the will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of the trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance. There's another family word. If you're not in the family, you don't get the inheritance. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. There's that family word again. So review. Who is the audience of this letter? And we talked about this before. Who's the audience of this letter? Well, the saints who were faithful. Those who are in Ephesus, the saints who are faithful. All right. Next, describe the timing of when God chose those faithful saints. Well, we read this back in verse 4, and we were chosen, the saints were chosen, before the foundation of the world. So here's some big thoughts here for you. What does it mean that in love he predestined us, in verse 5, that we were predestined according to the counsel of his will? And I'd like us to consider also this passage from Romans 8, 29 through 30. So let me go ahead and call that up. If you're online, again, a reminder, you can click these links and they will open up the scripture for you. And in this particular case, I've gone ahead and opened it up to a link that'll bring out all those different versions that we talked about the other day. But let me go ahead and read that for you in the English Standard Version. In Romans 8, 29 through 30. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. I hope that gives some clarity for you and not more questions. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version. For those whom he foreknew and loved and chose beforehand. See how it opens it up? It amplifies the word. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son and ultimately share in his complete sanctification. That might be a word that it's new to you, unfamiliar. If you've just now joined in on this study, or maybe you just forgot from previous studies, we talked about it quite a bit in the Hebrew study. Make sure you understand that word. I don't think I spent a lot of time going and teaching on that in this particular study. So that he would be the firstborn, the most beloved and honored. That's what firstborn means, most beloved and honored in this context, among many believers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, which means declared free of the guilt of sin. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, which means raising them up to a heavenly dignity. All right, so what does this mean that in love he predestined us? Well, that he had us in mind before he created the world, and that we were chosen in him because he willed it. That was his will moving forward. Now, we're going to dig into this. I'm going to teach on this pretty deep, not super deeply, but I'm going to teach on this when we come back together for our Bible lesson coming up next week. On the idea of predestination and the election and things like that, and try to offer some clarity for that. But I'd like you to kind of stay put in the potential, I don't know exactly what this means part, but I would like you to consider the implications of it. So here's some thoughts to think about. Dig deeper. DD. Consider again. 1:11. What is Paul teaching us regarding being predestined according to God's purpose? That we have no free will? Romans 9 teaches that God uses human choices for his purposes, even sinful human choices. So what is the point here? All right. So do we have free will? If God predestined us, if he already chose us, could we have done anything but choose or not choose him? What does that actually look like? I'd like you to think about that and dig a little deeper. That's what the DD there stands for. The point here that is whatever God does for those in Christ, he does according to a plan, and it's all according to our benefit, for the purpose for our benefit. So again, a little clarity box, a little insight box over here to the right. It's Greek to me. Can you believe without being persuaded? Maybe, but that's not how our Christian faith works. Consider this. The Greek word for believe is pistuo, and it's rooted in the word pitho, which means, which implies or means a confident faith as a result of being persuaded. The Lord persuades the yielded believer to be confident in his will. Galatians 5:10 and 2 Timothy 1:12. So we have this idea of being persuaded, and that our faith isn't a result of just blindly following, but it's because of being persuaded that this is the right way. So can you be persuaded if you were just an automaton with no free will? Again, I want to leave this here for you to ponder and think about, and I would love to hear your questions on it. All right. So moving on, what is the word of truth? Verse 13. What is the word of truth? Go back and look at that. Well, the word of truth was the gospel of our salvation, the gospel of my salvation. So connect that truth of Romans 10:17 and what happened to the saints in Ephesus in verses in 1:13. How did their salvation happen? Well, let's take a look over here again at Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And in the Amplified, so faith comes from hearing what is told. And what is heard comes from the preaching of the message concerning Christ. So there's your answer there. Connecting that truth. How did their salvation happen? They heard the gospel of truth, all right? Think about that and how your decision about the gospel happened. Do you believe it? Have you accepted it as truth? And why or why not? You know, writing this Bible study, there's a good chance that everybody who's doing this Bible study has made a believing decision for Christ, but I want to make sure I'm covering my bases here. Someone could be reading this Bible study right now. Maybe that's you, and you have not been persuaded, and you're just doing the Bible study as an intellectual exercise. Good for you. It's a great thing to do, but at some point, you need to make a decision, and so today might be that day. And those of you who've already made that decision, what was that decision based on? Why did you make that decision? How did you hear and receive the gospel? How did you respond to that? I'd love to hear a brief summary of your story there. For me, it's pretty simple. I remember it fairly well. I was sitting in the living room with my folks, and my dad was having an evening Bible study, a little devotional time probably with the kids. Me and my younger sisters, I was second grade, and then the rest of them down below that. and he asked if I wanted to accept Jesus as my Savior, if I understood what that meant. And that was the day that I did that. And we invite Jesus into our heart. He lives and dwells in us as a result. So that was my hearing of the gospel. And it wasn't just that moment. It was all the moments led up to that. And at that point, when my dad point blank asked me, I said, yeah, I want this. Sometimes it's just that simple, just asking someone. So let's go ahead and update our salvation, our doctrines chart on the point of salvation. Go back and do that. And as we close here, I'm going to go ahead and just close with this thought from the Word. We were chosen by God to become His children before the world began. Being a child of God has nothing to do with where we were born, how good we are, or what we can do for God. It's all about God choosing to love before the foundation of the world. One of the great mysteries in understanding our faith is how God could choose us from before the foundation of the world, and how we could still have a choice in the matter. The famous Bible teacher Donald Barnhouse gave this great picture that helps us see the truth. Imagine a cross like the one on which Jesus died, only so large that it had a door in it. Over the door, there were these words from Revelation: "Whosoever will may come." These words represent the free will offer of the gospel, the word of truth that the Ephesians heard and believed. Everyone is invited to believe in Jesus Christ and receive the gift of eternal life. Here's what's interesting. On the other side of the door, anyone glancing back can see these words from Ephesians written above the door, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That we who believe have been chosen is a doctrine called election, and it is best understood when we look back. When we make a decision for Christ, we find that God made a decision for us before time began. It's a kind of a mind-boggling concept to dig into. And if you find yourself challenged with the idea that God chose us before the foundation of the world and we have the free will to choose him in the present tense, and if you find yourself again challenged by that and thinking it through, you're not alone. This is a great, powerful, amazing, rich, deep concept that theologians and just regular old folks like you and me have dealt with and wrestled with for millennia, literally millennia. And so dig with it, work on it, chew on it, think about it, and see what you can come up with. And don't be afraid to sit in the I don't know moment for quite a while as you do some research on it. There are, I would say, two main really big distinct positions if you're interested in looking these up. And they involve two prominent theologians, and you'll probably recognize the first one. His name was John Calvin, and the second one is Joseph Arminius. They have two different perspectives on how this plays out, and actually the church follows along the line of either Calvinism or Arminianism, depending on which denomination you might be in. And there's little branches of that and different opinions of that. A third one that you can look into is a Spanish theologian. His name is Luis Molina, and his position on this is what we refer to as Molinism, based on his last name, Molina. So we have Calvin, Arminius, and Molina. So Calvinism, Arminianism, and Molinism. If you're interested in digging deeper on those three, you can start with a simple, like a Wikipedia search will give you some information, and then I can give you some ideas if you want to look even further. But I hope that's helpful for you. And I look forward to connecting with you more on that in person. And definitely, if you leave some questions here online, I'd love to talk to you about that as well. All right. Have a great rest of your day. It's always wonderful to be with you. And I look forward to being here back here tomorrow morning for our Bible study again. But bye-bye for now.